tonight on Bachelor Party. There's a lot of news to discuss, and we will do that. Plus, let's talk about tonight's episode. I'm completely mystified by what happened with Abigail. I feel really sorry for Piper, and I loved how she went out, and there's just so much more to discuss. So let's batch.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman. I am joined today by my colleague, Amelia Wedemeyer. Amelia, hello.
Hi, Juliette. How's it going?
Whew, what a weekend in Bachelor Nation. So just truly, a little timeline recap here. We posted a clip of Rachel and Van's episode of Higher Learning on Friday, very early morning. Then on Friday, which was, you know, like 4 days ago, although kind of feels longer to me, the men of Clayshia season, put out a statement supporting Rachel and the women of Matt's season and sort of voicing their support for the anti-racism movement within Bachelor Nation,
right,
which was really exciting to see. I think every guy from the season posted it.
Yes, at least if not on like their actual Instagram grid, I saw it on a lot of their stories. And
yeah, same here. And that was pretty moving. That came after the women of Matt's season, the 25 women who identify as BIPOC, posted a statement as well, which I think we mentioned on Friday. And then on Saturday afternoon, Chris Harrison made a second statement and notified everyone that he would be stepping aside temporarily and would not be hosting the After the Final Rose. And this is as big of news as we're going to get in Bachelor Nation. Amelia, what was your first reaction to that?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest, you know, I couldn't even watch that entire video he did with Rachel. I was so just like disgusted. And I, you know, it's just really frustrating that someone who is the face of the franchise and who, you know, is the host of the show and is the guy, again, he's synonymous with who we think of Bachelor Nation, The Bachelor,
yeah, absolutely,
would say these things and think it's okay to say them. And, you know, Van Lathan brought up a really good point on Higher Learning. He was like, you know, Chris Harrison isn't David Duke. Like, you know, he isn't this known character who's like just a white supremacist or a racist, but the fact that he is just this normal guy who's saying these things is almost like even more frightening and more concerning, to be honest.
Yeah, I hear you. I think a lot of people had that reaction, and Van verbalized it really perfectly. I was just thinking when they announced that Chris would be stepping away, I was just thinking like, what a bummer this is for Matt. Like, you know,
totally.
And I don't mean to like say that like so colloquially, like downplay it. But one thing that I'm just really bummed about is that there has definitely been progress within the show in the last 6 months.
For sure.
That's undeniable. And I think this week's episode, you know, there's a lot of diversity in this group of this like final group of women, not only the hometowns group, but like even this whole week.
Right.
And it just sucks that the first Black Bachelor season will probably be at least as remembered, if not more remembered,
overshadowed.
Yeah, for what happened with Chris than what actually happened on the show. And not only is it the first Black Bachelor season, but it's also the season with the most representation Yes. Abigail's deaf and she's on the show. I mean, I'm so perplexed by whatever happened with Abigail this season. I wanted to get into that when yes. it's time, but I'm like pissed about it. I love Abigail. I hope she's doing mm-hmm. okay.
Me too.
This is so weird. And I really felt for her, but, I just think it's so unfortunate. We've known since the first episode of the season when Chris and Matt had that weird sit down that
oh my God.
Van, Rachel and I discussed, like they were not prepared to really handle with intention and deliberateness yeah. the first Black Bachelor season. And that has come home to Rose. And, you know, I think that, like, before we go any further, this sounds cheesy because she's our colleague and my mm-hmm. friend, but, like, Rachel is so amazing. Like, I just mm-hmm. think that Rachel has demanded change in a way that is not easy because she gets so much hate. And
yeah, totally.
It's just incredible how much she has impacted this franchise. And I think that's, like, she makes it look easy. She's kind of like a great athlete who's really good at what she does. Like, it's like watching LeBron and you're just like, she handles it with so much class and to quote Chris Harrison, grace. And I don't know. It's just like a really momentous weekend. And it was weird sure. to just watch this episode with all of this context.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing about Rachel is, like, she shouldn't have that burden to be the only yeah. mouthpiece for the show. And unfortunately, again and again and again, and it's been put on her with kind of like, you know, they brought her to come on the show. I don't remember when was it for Peter's season where she was talking about the racism that she experienced?
Yes. And that was almost exactly a year ago. Come March, it'll be a year ago where she went on after the final rose and read some of the DMs that she got. And they were, like, so nasty and, racist. And she's subject to a lot of hate. But I think that's one of the reasons why this episode, not the show, but this whole weekend felt so momentous, is I do think there's, like, the vocal support from the women of Matt's season and the men from Tayshia's season is, like, remarkable. And
definitely
it's really cool to see. And it's also, like, a lot of, you know, people smarter and wiser than me pointed this out. Like, the outcome we're seeing is, like, why representation matters, because there's people mm-hmm. in the franchise now who can speak to why this is wrong and their experiences. And there's just a lot more diversity of thought in the way they've been casting for the last two seasons.
Yeah. And I think also there's, you know, something to say to everyone who's involved in pushing this diversity forward. And that's not just people of color, but it's a lot of white people too, who are saying this isn't fair. And the representation isn't, like, we want more than just, you know, this demographic of pretty white people. And again, we saw it this summer with the whole Bachelor diversity campaign. And it's really, you know, when we've been saying, and I think people have been saying, like, if you want to see change, you have to demand it. And people have been demanding it. And I think that's great. They're using their platforms to ask for change. And that's how you get change. So it's yeah. been really cool to see.
And Chris couldn't have stayed in his position, because even this week when he would come on screen, it just felt wrong. This is
so weird.
It was super weird. And there's no way they could have done and after the final rose or move forward without, like, acknowledging this head on.
Right.
And to do that, I think he had to step away. I'm curious to see if it's temporary or permanent. I don't know. I also don't, like, I don't have any cute suggestions of who should be the replacement host.
Rachel. If she doesn't want to, she doesn't have to.
I don't know if she wants it. I'll let, you know, Rachel can speak for herself. Check out Higher Learning. But
I think she deserves it. If anyone deserves it, she deserves it. Cause I feel like that's a good paycheck, right?
Sure. So. What about, like, DeMar? I feel like he just wants to be your host.
Again, I love DeMar, and I find it so rude that when I was talking to my friend about this, and I was like, you know who I actually said, I was like, you know who would love to see host this show? DeMar. And she was like, who? And I was like, okay, rude, because I love DeMar, and he deserves so much more than the screen time he got on Tayshia's/Claire's season. And he's just like, I don't know. He lights up the screen. I really believe that. And I think he'd be a fun host.
I wonder if they're going to go for JoJo, because they tested her out. But JoJo's not really the host that I think I want. I'm not sure she's even made a statement on this, by the way. I think last I checked, she had not.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the other thing. I didn't really care for a lot of the Bachelor Nation alum statements. I just thought a lot of them were really hedging. And we're just sort of, like, trying to not ruffle too many feathers while also acknowledging what Chris did was fucked up.
It's hard because, you know, I know Chris has been on this podcast. And
yeah, absolutely.
And I've I mean, I've only met him once and he was nice. He was very nice. But again, it's, and you, so you go into this territory that's like, well, you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to not hold him accountable, but you know, you've met the guy. He's a nice guy. And it's,
yeah, of course.
And, you know, and it sucks. It just really fucking sucks because it's like what he did was not okay.
It was appalling.
Not okay. It was appalling.
Yeah.
And it was disgusting. And it just kind of shows me, it's like, do we actually know this person? Like, clearly not. And it just sucks though. It really sucks for everyone. You know, I mean, it especially sucks to the people, you know, he was.
It sucks for the women of color in particular.
Exactly.
This season, because, and a lot of other people pointed this out. And, you know, the Black Tourette and Two Girls, One Rose have just been like so on point about this. I definitely encourage you to check out their podcast. But, you know, to defend the white woman from, you know, the quote unquote woke police versus empathizing and sympathizing with the women of color who put themselves out on the line and are subject to so much more hate. And like, they don't get as you know, many people said, they don't get the benefit of the doubt. It's just so fucked up. And yeah, it's just, it's hard to get past. It really made this watching this week very difficult. And I think it's going to be weird for the rest of the season, but I personally feel relieved knowing that there is like a break from what's been happening. Like, not like a break in like the season, but just that like things will not be continuing status quo. And
sure.
And so I think that like this is what they had to do. I will say one thing I think would have been interesting or could be interesting in the future is if there's not just like one host, because why should Chris Harrison be the face of the franchise?
Totally.
And so maybe that should be a different host for The Bachelor versus The Bachelorette, or maybe they go hostless. Like,
that'd be interesting.
I don't know if that would completely work, but you know, as we've seen, there's a lot of the time when Chris doesn't do very much in an episode. He's had to do more when they don't travel, but in the episodes when they do travel and they have like more stuff to show, he's barely on some of them as they get deeper into it. So I don't know that you need a host in the traditional mode. And you know, he has been the one thing that's remained the same since the first season, 2002, but TV has changed. Reality TV has changed. Maybe it's just time to change up the format a little bit.
Right. And again, it's like, you have to hold people accountable. And what he said and what he, I'm sorry, but what he consistently seems to do is just support a system that favors, you know, the white contestants. And it's just, it's just disgusting and it's not okay. And
it's not
I would be fine never seeing him on my TV again, I'll be honest. So I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just happy that ABC and Warner is doing something about it and
me
it's
too.
Not going to just let things stay the same. So, and thank you to Rachel and to all of the women from Matt season and the men of Tayshia season for, you know, using their platforms and their voices. It's, I like really appreciate it. And I find it like pretty profound and it's amazing. So let's get into the episode, which was honestly one of the better episodes in the last few weeks. I enjoyed it more.
It was so fast paced.
Okay. Let's just talk about the giant elephant in the room. There's a lot to talk about in this episode, but I just need to ask you, what the fuck happened to the group date? They just didn't show it and didn't acknowledge that they didn't show it. It's
it
just
was
like, we
wild.
We're not idiots. We notice if you don't show a date. That was so strange. It's the second time this season they haven't shown a group date and not acknowledged it.
Very, very weird. I was like, did I miss something?
Me too. But that was so weird. It was so, so weird. Okay. I just wanted to get that out of the way. We'll come back to it. Let's talk about Heather.
I
feel sorry for Heather. I feel sorry for a lot of people coming out of this episode. Like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with Heather, Amelia, what's your theory on how this all played out? Like, first of all, what's your Heather theory?
My Heather theory is that freaking Hannah Brown did go, yeah, sure, you should go on. Why not? And Heather was like, okay. And then contacted the producers and they said, yeah, sure, this will be a good dramatic storyline that we can use. Because otherwise, and yes, I know there was a whole thing going on about how we tried to not let her onto the premises. That's a lie. That is not true. If you didn't want her to be here, you would have not let her come on, but she did.
Did the producers say they tried to not let her onto the premises?
Chris Harrison said that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's such a lie.
This is the thing. I was kind of buying into it. I talked about this last week. I was like looking for a mic pack, didn't see one. I was just like, how'd she get the minivan? I think she had New York plates on that minivan. Rental cars usually don't correspond to like where you pick it up. But New York plates are not common for a minivan. So I thought that was weird. It's usually like Arizona, Florida, Nevada, all the tax-free states. That was super weird to me. But my main question at the end was like, why did Heather have to drive herself away? Like, why was the white minivan waiting for her there? And if you wanted to convince me of this ruse, she should have been driven away in a black car like everyone else. Heather just driving away at the white minivan waiting for her was like one of the most ridiculous things I've seen this season.
Well, I think one, they kind of knew that this was all going to be a funny kind of joke. And also they didn't want to put it on them, as in I'm speaking as like the producers. They wanted to put all of it on her and that like, oh, she's crazy. And she just showed up, when really there's more to the story. Just like the whole Claire being pushed out. Was she pushed out? Did the producers push out? I feel like it's very similar to that. I really do.
I felt really sorry for her. The women were genuinely mean.
Like, I know.
Okay, so I like Piper a lot. I really do.
Yeah.
Piper interacting with Heather was not Piper's finest moment, but she was obviously really hurt. I mean, Piper, she said, I've never felt so invisible. She's crying in one of her interviews. Mm. And her and Jesenia were just so mean to Piper. Piper demanding an apology, which I guess I kind of get. Jesenia said to her, I'm not convinced that you're ready for an engagement. And then one thing, this might have been a Frankenbite, I don't know if she actually said to her face, but Kit called her a bitch, like just like straight up. It's like, you guys don't know her. I understand if you're really mad, and like I probably would be cold to her as well. Right. But I just thought that like her and Serena C, they were just so mean to her. Why is the default setting of this group to be mean?
I don't know, but I feel like there's also something with the fact that we've seen Heather before. I think they brought that up a bunch where they're like, she just wants more screen time because she was already from Colton season.
I think Serena said she's bachelor hopping.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was like, damn, that's a good term. Okay.
That is good. I liked it. But that's also so cold.
It was kind of weird. It was almost as if, because if anything, they should know. And thankfully he did know that Matt was never going to let her come on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, if you're secure enough within your own relationship, you should be okay with some rando showing up. But I don't know if it has to do with that they're all cooped up in this giant mansion. They haven't seen anyone else. And just to have a new girl come on would destroy things. But yeah, you would think that it's just like, okay, it's fine. Like, she probably won't even stay that long. But I
can't even imagine what it's like 6 weeks where you're just in this one resort. And you have singular focus, which is to like get with Matt, when like in all the ways that can mean.
Amazing.
And it's like that, like how I've definitely gone crazy thinking about a guy that I was interested in after like being out in the wild, you know, and like actually living life. I can't imagine how insane it is to have like this one focus where the people around you, producers and other contestants are like egging it on. And it's just like they must just be losing it 6 weeks in. Plus, you know, coming off a 9 months of quarantine of COVID anyway. Like, I think we have to, you know, we have to give them a little bit of bandwidth. But I do think they were like unnecessarily mean. And I'm no Heather fan. But like, just imagine standing in front of that group of women and they're just like picking at you. And they're just like, apologize. And they're like, what are you doing here? I really felt for her. That was awful.
I know. And I felt for her not only when that happened, but she was made to look like an idiot on national TV. I mean, like, let's just be clear. She did not come across as anything but naive and stupid looking.
They made her look bad. But also, the women who responded the most harshly to her tether were Serena C, Piper, and Serena P. And we now know that Piper and Serena C are gone. And I just feel like because they made Serena P seem like this mean girl, and Kit also had like a bad choice quote, and Chelsea, basically like neither Michelle nor Rachel nor Brie.
Oh my God, you're so right.
Who I'm going to assume go to the final three, give her a hard time. They made the women who didn't make it to final four seem, plus Serena P, seem like these like mean ringleaders while protecting the other three. And I thought that was fucked up too.
That is really interesting. And
because, you know, Rachel did have a quote. Everyone thinks Rachel wins now because Chris Harrison was defending her so hard.
I was going to say, yeah.
Rachel did have a quote, but it was about her. It was not really about Heather. Like, her quote was something along the lines of like, if he picks Heather, then he's not right for me.
Right. Yes. Yes. I remember that quote.
That like added to the storyline, but it's not something to like you can like hold against Rachel. Whereas I feel like with Piper, if she had made it further, you just would have been like, well, she was really mean to Heather. That would have clouded her storyline. Right. So they basically sacrifice the women who don't go far to be the ones who are really mean. And I think that's fucked up.
It is. It's completely fucked up. And again, you are so right with the whole, the ones that seemingly go farther than the others don't get that extra rude screen time or whatever. It's like, you can kind of tell. They make it like the whole Survivor edgic cut or whatever they call it, where it's like, you can kind of, if you focus on a certain player and see how they're edited amongst the other players, you can tell who wins.
Yeah. Which I actually don't usually pay that much attention to, but like, as we were just talking it through, I was like, interesting who they allowed to be the mean girls. Like, everyone who was really mean is now gone. Yeah. And so it's sort of like that phase of the season is over.
I know. It's like, it's interesting to note. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. The whole Heather thing was just so stupid. Also, she was wearing a Giovanni dress, which I found very funny. Have you seen that on Housewives of New York? Giovanni! No. Oh my God. Giovanni. Oh my God. Just a side note. The Countess Luann had her show, Cabaret with the Countess, which I'm like, when the world returns, I'm dying to go to.
Oh my
Dorinda got too drunk at one of her performances and was mad that Luann like never thanked her for taking her to the dress store, Giovanni. Oh. So Dorinda at the performance was drunk and she was yelling, Giovanni, Giovanni. And now Giovanni is like a big Bravo joke. But there is there's a very conspicuous Giovanni. There's one in New York, but the one in LA I'm very familiar with. It's on Robertson, like down the street from the Ivy. And what?
Oh,
Heather probably went there to get her dress. Giovanni! I can't deal
with that. Well, maybe she actually did go to New York and buy it there and then carted her ass to Nemecolon with that minivan, you know?
Maybe.
We don't know.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet. And the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, next up, Serena P's one-on-one. I really like Serena P. I just want to start there.
Yeah, she's cute. I like her too.
Serena P. had the tantric yoga date and she hated
I hate those dates.
Okay, so did Serena P. And I fucking loved this. I
really
loved it because Serena P. was like very legit. She was just like, they're making us do like sex moves and I don't roll that way. I take it slow. And I really respect her for saying that because I'm sure many people in the past have felt that way on this stupid ass date. And I also like that Matt was into it. I just felt like everyone was being honest and I really enjoyed that. Like, I don't hold it against him that he liked it. I just like that they were both being honest and like on kind of like a different wavelength about it.
Right.
And I just feel like she's very real. She was just like, I hope to never do this again. And she was just not comfortable. I mean, I'm not hoping for her to be uncomfortable, but I appreciated her vocalizing. Like, perhaps some people don't want to, like, you know, be that close with someone they don't really know and with someone else watching, the yoga instructor.
It's
I thought
it was
like a remarkable moment. And Serena P, I salute you.
Well, and going back to her first one-on-one with Matt, I remember kind of vaguely where she told him, she's like, I'm not falling in love with you. Like, I think I'm falling like in like with you. And she kept it really real. And I appreciate that. I was like, okay, yeah, don't stroke his ego. I like this.
Yeah. I like her too. Yeah, she was, I think she's the one who said, who asked Matt if he was a really weird kid because he liked turtles. And that was
all right. Like, oh, yes.
She was like kind of moment of the season. She's funny.
She is funny. She's kind of rude and I like it.
She's just like normal, I think. I don't know. I'm just like into Serena P. She's a nice young woman.
Yeah, she's, and you know what? She's very flexible too. I was impressed.
I know. I thought she also was a really good sport considering how much she disliked it.
Yes. You know what? More power to her for not only participating and being a good sport, but being vocal about how she didn't like it. I like her.
I have a theory. At the beginning of this date, Matt was saying he felt like he and Serena were in the friend zone and he was trying to like figure out if there was more, something more there. And I feel like because she didn't like the date and sort of like gave him negative feedback, he like became more into her, which is obviously a classic move.
I just feel
like that's really won him over. But I also, it made me like him more that he still wanted to give Serena the rose.
Yeah.
When she was so honest about how she felt about the date.
I agree. And I think I respect her honesty too. And I really like it. It's refreshing for sure.
I don't know. Serena P, I'm into you. Serena P and Piper were my stars of the episode. I really enjoy both of them.
I like that. Okay.
And then harsh transition into the group date, which we didn't see. What do you think they did? Like, I'm just like dying to know, like, what was the group date?
That's really, that's a great question. I don't know.
And why didn't they show it? The one they didn't show previously was co-hosted. I'm doing air quotes. You guys can't see that. But it was co-hosted by Tayshia and JoJo, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, well, maybe this was the one co-hosted by Peter and Kelly.
Definitely possible. I don't know why they're cutting these things out. It's really weird. Also, when's Hannah going to show up? I'm just like confused
by
that.
Wait, what? She's showing up?
I'm sure she is. We've already gotten Tyler. We're definitely going to get Hannah B, don't you think?
Well, maybe this was the group date that she co-hosted and they cut it out.
Maybe because it didn't work out with Heather or something?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm sure we'll find out eventually, but it's just super weird.
Like to start doing that now of all seasons, I don't get, it's like, what? It's just weird.
I know. It's just so ridiculous. I guess I skipped over the rose ceremony, by the way, where Chelsea was sent home and Serena Seymour was sent home.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll see more of Chelsea. She seems really charming.
Yeah. And you know what's really weird? I was talking to my friend and she was saying that she thought, she was like, you know what? I honestly could have thought that Serena C, had she not gotten into a fight with Katie, would be the Bachelorette. And I was like, that's what you took away from this?
I don't agree with that.
Neither do I. But I was like, okay, I guess someone feels that way. I don't know what edit you were watching, but okay. So maybe there are more people out there like her. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Serena C fan, but you know, I wish her the best. We just didn't get enough Chelsea. I mean, her Instagram is really funny too. She's like, what's a girl got to do to get a one-on-one date? It's great stuff. Okay. So back to the group date. I want to talk about Abigail.
Yes.
I am equally as confused as Abigail. Abigail, I think, was like, I got the first impression rose. Then she got the group rose date. They had the moment. They have had a couple really sweet moments when she touched her ear.
Totally.
When she talked to him about like how her father left, her biological father. And she is right. She got all this positive feedback. We never got a one-on-one. And
that is so strange.
And then Matt, this is just like honesty week from everyone. Matt was like, I had so much faith in us that I like explored other relationships, which I'm gonna hope that is really what happened. And then he like got distracted essentially, but clearly he just like got interested in other women. He got distracted. But like, I really feel for her. That's like really hard. It's sort of like, I was interested in you at first, but then when I got to meet everyone else, I was no longer interested. And that's so messed up.
It is messed up. And I feel as if he kind of led her on, to be honest.
Yes, I agree with you for sure.
And it's just like, I don't know what happened, but it is weird that he kept on giving her little crumbs, you know, just like you were saying, like, here's the first impression rose. And then here's one of the group date roses. And then here's me responding well to you telling me a very personal story and me reassuring you. And it took her outright asking him or telling him, like, I see a future with myself, but I need you to tell me if you see that as well. I mean, how long had she not said that? How long would he he strung her on for. We don't know.
She probably would have gone home at the next rose ceremony because it's basically cut down week. Sure. And they're getting down to the final four. But if she hadn't asked him, would he never have had that conversation with her? Like, would he have sought her out? Because the way it was edited, it really seemed like they had a connection. I really thought she was going to be final four. Really did. And
I know.
I just feel like she was totally screwed over. I feel really sorry for her. I hope she's okay.
Me too, because she seemed very sweet and I thought she had a really interesting story. And
she does. I mean, weird.
Definitely. And it's just, and again, she kept on getting these reinforcements from him only to be told, yeah, I like other girls more than you. Sorry.
It was like very, I feel like Matt thinks he was being honest. I just feel like personally,
it was rude. I don't know. I thought it was rude.
It was rude. I think he thinks he was being honest, but it was pretty hurtful and just like fucked up. And I don't know. Poor Abigail. I really like her. I hope that she's happy. I hope that everyone finds happiness, but like particularly Abigail, because she seems really sweet.
Well, yes. And then also, did you notice that every time for the last like couple of episodes, including this episode, when he would give someone else the group date, they would get like an into the moment with Abigail and she, or cut to her and she'd be like, I don't get it. Like, I feel like there was more stuff that we didn't see off camera. You know, there's some B-roll edit somewhere of him reinforcing her even more, you know, because
he must have
really shocked and hurt when she didn't get those one-on-ones.
I know. I was shocked. I kept waiting for it.
Me too. Me too. Especially after, like, when the first few episodes happened, after she got the first impression rose and she had a lot of great screen time and they clearly had a connection, I was just waiting for her to get a one-on-one date, but it never came. It never came.
Abigail, hope to see you again in the future. Maybe as the Bachelorette. I really liked her. My real pick for Bachelorette, if she doesn't win, though, and I think we all think Rachel wins. Mm-hmm. It's got to be Brie, who gave up her job for this.
I know, but I just ride so hard for Michelle.
I like Michelle a lot.
So. I love Michelle so much that if she doesn't win, she deserves it.
Michelle is awesome. You like her. She's a Minnesota woman, but she's awesome.
Yes, but she's also amazing. She's like a teacher and she's an athlete. And she's also
really
funny,
as we learned this week.
She's freaking hilarious. Like,
I have a proposal. I want to come back. We'll come back to the bloopers. Okay. But back to Brie for a second. Mm-hmm. The first season that I like really became deeply invested in The Bachelorette and The Bachelor was Jake Pavelka into Ally Fedotowsky. I was living in San Francisco at the time. And so Allie leaving Jake's season because she didn't want to give up her job at Facebook is just like a seminal moment in pop culture for me. And so it really like came around tonight.
Yeah.
When, how many years later are we now? 11, I think. 11 years later, Brie pulls Matt aside to be like, listen, just need you to know, a few days ago, I gave up my job and it was my dream job to stay here. Ooh. And, I don't know. I just feel like there's the symmetry here is so intense and meaningful to me in particular. And also Jake Pavelka's season was another hot mess. That was partially because of Jake. I do not blame Matt, by the way. I think Matt's a very good bachelor.
Yeah.
He's a good vessel. I think he seems like a good guy and he's a good vessel. Maybe slightly boring as a bachelor, but like in general,
he's
way
also
than
not
Peter.
Like a sociopath. So.
Right. He's not a sociopath. He's not Peter. He's not Colton. He's not even, he's way better than Ari in his cardigans. I mean, Matt's great.
Especially compared to the last few Bachelors. Yeah. Oh my God. He blows them out of the water. It's just.
Are you following Peter on Instagram, by the way?
Never. No.
Peter moved to New York. He's living in a sponsored apartment. And what I would have to say, it has to be one of the worst locations right now. It's right by Grand Central. And I just feel like that must be ultra depressing without any office life. Just super weird.
Well, he probably
his roommate
his
is
mom.
Dustin, who I loved on Hannah's season. So shout out to Dustin.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wow. What a. Well, Dustin, I hope you get out of that lease, but I worry for anyone who is the roommate of Peter. So
also like Peter's like doesn't dress warmly enough. I want to be like, dude, get a North Face parka. Like he's
just an idiot.
Californian wearing a pea coat in the snow. No. It's not how we're doing it.
I cannot see him lasting in New York for very much longer.
Neither. Nor
oh
I.
My God.
I think I saw in Des Moines that he was like partying in Hoboken, which I found very funny.
Oh,
anyway.
Interesting. Whatever, you know, I unsubscribed from Des Moines. I was
why?
Like,
why? I muted it. Why'd you unsubscribe?
I know we've had this conversation before, but I think she, I don't want to say she's a liar, but she's
wrong
of,
all the time.
She's wrong all the time. And I'm like, I don't need this. And also I'm just like over. I'm just like, no, no, I don't care about how many times you've seen Timothy Chalamet riding a bike.
I know. I'm new to the account a few months ago. As you know, I was always anti.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I never thought it was going to be good for the world or anyone. So.
Well, now she has lame ass merch and it's just like, I don't care.
Anon, please. Whatever. Good luck. Mm. I like, there was once a theory that the woman behind Demois was Jamie Gleischer from one of my favorite reality shows, Rich Girls, which was on MTV right and, after. And Allie and Hilfiger.
Allie Hilfiger. Yeah.
Yes. I think they're no longer friends. I love that rumor. I don't think it's true, but I love it because Jamie Gleischer was fun.
Why not?
That was a great, 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 great show. Anyway, back to The Bachelorette and who it should be. So Brie, I just feel like Brie is destined to be Bachelorette. I just feel it in my bones. I thought it was going to be Katie. I did. Mm-hmm. But I now think they will pick someone final four.
Yeah.
To sort of get away from this Chris Harrison situation. And
that's probably
focus
smart.
On like this final act of the season. That's my guess. I don't know, honestly. But I'm all in on Brie. I feel like she's the most stylish Bachelorette perhaps ever.
She is really stylish.
Yes. She's got a different hairstyle basically every time. I didn't know that someone could do their hair that many different ways without professional assistance. And she seems really smart. And I don't know. I'm really into Brie. And I thought that it was like touching how she was like, I'm here because I want to be and I gave my dream job. Yeah. I honestly don't support that. As you know, I like to support careers.
Agreed.
It's one of the reasons I was begging Dr. Joe to not go to paradise. and Ivan for that matter.
Right.
But
right.
Brie, if you're going to be all in, let's be all in with her and let's make her the Bachelorette.
I love that. You're so right. It adds for a great story for like, cause I think part of Allie's story was like, oh man, you know, she took that job at Facebook, but that didn't turn out well because now she's back.
She's
you know,
back,
looking
baby.
For love because yeah. she chose the wrong thing. She chose career over love, and look where she is now. And so
what
I
a horrible message.
I know. That is the larger problem with The Bachelor. But
at least on the hills, Lauren was the girl who always didn't go to Paris. You know,
and I still think about that to this day.
Of course, she one did of the most iconic moments ever.
Jason. Oh, just
terrible
disgusting.
Choice.
Disgusting. But yeah, no, I think this is. It's the perfect narrative, you know, that she's mm-hmm. she wants love so freaking bad. And not only that, but she has a great backstory with her mom being a single mother yeah. and having a new baby. And, you know, and she's like, well, family is a huge thing to me. And that adds to the narrative, too. So she's perfect. I agree.
I'm all in on Brie.
You've convinced me.
Thank you. Thank you. I also think Serena P would be good because she'd roast the guys, as we've seen. But Brie is my pick.
Yeah. Yeah. Bree's
sure.
a good pick. Bree's a good pick for sure.
But I thought that was a pretty significant moment. It seemed like it meant a lot to Matt. So
definitely.
I don't know. It was sweet. Most appalling moment of the episode was when Kit said that she needed Matt to know that she wanted to wait until she was like 20, 25 or 26 to have children. I nearly fell off the couch.
Oh, the enigma that is Kit Keenan. Wow. You know,
that's the kind of thing that you say when you are 21 as she is. And like, I mean, I guess, well, I don't know. I don't know when Cynthia Riley had Kit. I could look it up, but like, I feel like you grow up thinking, oh, I'm going to have kids at the same age as my mom was when she had
sure.
me. And she probably just like hasn't evolved past that. It's fine. I felt Kit's age showed a lot in that conversation.
Definitely.
And it was sweet that she wanted to be upfront about her interest in her career. And that she's like, as she said, like a long-term prospect or whatever. But Kit, 26, 25, 27, very young.
Kill me. Yeah, exactly. I don't need to think about that conversation ever again, but yeah.
It led to her self-exit because she was so certain she was going to get the group date rose and she didn't. Do you think she left because she was wavering or because she felt rejected?
Because she felt rejected. I honestly believe that.
She had a safe face. She was like talking to the camera so confidently like she was going to get it. And then she didn't. She had no choice but to leave.
I know. Which, I mean, I guess that's graceful. I don't even know the word for it. It's just, sure. Why not? It's self-preserving, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Self-preservation. And then ultimately, Rachel got the rose on this group date, which led to the Aloe Black performance.
Wow. You know, someone who isn't an unknown country music singer. I was shocked. shocked.
I wonder if this is a more appealing gig in quarantine because there's not a lot of opportunities to perform. Like,
except,
actually,
you know, he was a runner-up on The Masked Singer.
Really?
Yes. He was the mushroom.
Who did he lose to?
He lost to Leanne Rimes as the sun.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How do I live without you? I want to know.
Of that fame and of...
Coyote Ugly.
That and cheating on... her husband with Eddie Cibrian and
yes,
Cibrian
of,
and
of Beverly Hills,
Brandy Glanville. But now they apparently have a good relationship. So happy for them.
You know, I'd like to root for Brandy in general. Like, I hope she's
really
happy.
See, yeah. I don't, but
I think she did out Denise Richards, which is unacceptable. So I retract. I forgot about that. whatever. Anyway,
she's chaotic. She's chaotic. Yeah,
I take it back. I just can't support that. But anyway, Aloe Black to this performance. And it's just really hard to watch Rachel. There's no way around it. There's just nothing, you know. I thought her apology was good as far as those kinds of apologies go.
Yeah.
I hope that she does learn. You know, a lot of people have DM'd me to say, like, where she's from is Forsyth County, which, like, we're all so familiar with the counties in Georgia after the election, right? We're like, oh, right, Forsyth. That was always going to be red.
Right.
And it does, you know, add some context to it.
Sure.
It's going to be really hard to meet Rachel's family next week and kind of like knowing, you know, she had a tacit admission that her family has certain beliefs that I think have a lot of roots in racism of the old South, if not overtly so. And I only say that, like, I'm only hedging because I don't know for sure, but I would guess that.
Right. Well, that's that TikTok that went viral that drug up all of her parents' histories and whatnot, which I think, I mean, like, I get that.
I forgot about that. You're right.
But you should, I mean, I also kind of have a problem.
That's why she included that in her apology. I didn't even realize that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Which, I mean, to be honest, and I've done this before where I'm like, well, so-and-so's parents said this, so they must think that. But that's not true. Like, you can't necessarily judge someone just because their parents say certain things and whatnot. I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah, she's not her parents, but she is young. And
yeah.
She hasn't lived that much outside of, you know, sure, the life that she had with her family. I don't want to like assume too much, but it's just going to be really fucking hard to watch her family and like root for them knowing what we know.
Oh my God. Well, especially watching that little preview and the parents were like, well, I don't know about this. And like, oh, this is a little fast. And like, I've never seen Rachel in love. And all these kind of negative comments just made me go, oh, guys, is that really the reason why? Or is it another reason, you know?
And there's going to be something so profoundly uncomfortable with us knowing this when Matt didn't, you know?
Oh, yes.
It's so unfair.
So shitty.
Yeah.
It's really shitty. It puts him in such a shitty position. And I just, oh, it makes me upset. And I feel for him. I really do, you know?
I do too, because I think that he is taking the role of first Black Bachelor really seriously.
Definitely.
And you can see it with his social media and how he's conducted himself over the last, you know, almost 2 months, whatever it's been. And it just sucks for him. Like, there was this information he didn't have access to at the time, and now we're all watching it with this broader context. And
yep,
it sucks. I don't know. I don't know why Tyler hasn't made a statement, by the way. I don't know.
He's just an idiot. I'm sorry. I know
I particularly like need to like hear from him on this topic, but I do think it's weird. Matt even made a statement.
I know. Well, I just see Tyler just being like, yeah, peace and love to everybody. I'm going to go run around shirtless now. I'm sorry, but I don't give him a lot of credit. I just don't think there's a lot up there in terms of like mental capacity. So
I don't want to hear from a lot of these Bachelor people on this topic.
That's true too. Yeah.
But I do think it's weird he hasn't said anything because Matt did, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just going to be really hard to watch Rachel. And I think like watching this one-on-one last night when the other women are so visibly upset when he's like, okay, Rachel and I have something special planned. We're going to go and it's Aloe Black concert and they're left behind. That would have been sad, but it would have been kind of like par for the course of The Bachelor. It felt so much worse and ickier.
Definitely.
Like knowing what we know, they don't have that information and just how it's all played out. And it just sucks that this is how this historic season is unfolding in the end. It just really sucks. And I wish they had done a better job vetting these contestants. That's something they really do need to change. And
my God. And it doesn't even start with this season. It starts past seasons.
Rachel had Lee on her season.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, oh my God. It just blows my mind the lack of vetting from these reality shows. It's just,
hire a Reddit moderator. They're clearly available.
I know, truly. I know. Oh my God. And I mean, that even goes back to other reality shows. Like, do you remember Megan Wants a Millionaire? I will never forget
that
show.
Yeah.
Where the guy ended up being a murderer. Again, there needs to be better vetting processes with these reality shows, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree. We're going to move on to Jesenia, but I have one final note on Brie that I meant to share before, and I just remembered looking at my notes. Have you seen the film Center Stage?
No.
Oh my God. It's phenomenal.
Sorry. Okay. I'm putting it on my list.
I wonder if you've never seen it, if you would like it at first viewing here in 2021. Oh, okay. I don't know. It's a great Zoe Saldana performance. Truly wonderful.
Okay.
She's a good dancer. I think that's her dancing. Anyway, in the end of it, the lead character, who's played by Amanda Scholl, who I know from Suits, but I really knew from Center Stage. She plays Jody. And Jody gives this speech to Peter Gallagher about how, like, the best dancer she could be would be not being in Peter Gallagher's dancing company.
Ooh.
And as Brie was giving her speech to Matt, she's really evoked Jody from Center Stage for me. And I just wanted to mention
that.
I know there's some Center Stage heads in this bachelor party listening ship. So...
Well, see, when you say Peter Gallagher, then I just immediately think of Sandy Cohen, you know, so I can't.
Unfortunately, Peter Gallagher in Center Stage is a real dick, but
damn it.
He's great. It's such a good movie, Amelia. I think you will like it. It's seriously just one of the best dancing movies ever. It's a great movie. It's great.
Okay, I'm putting it on my list right now.
There's real ballerinas in it, and it's great. I
love a good real ballerina.
On to Jesenia.
Mm. Oh, Jesenia. That makes me sad.
Jesenia never had a chance. Why did she even get the one-on-one?
I don't know. Maybe, you know what? Maybe it was I don't know. I was going to say maybe because Abigail left, but clearly that's not
it. No, she could have gotten it. I'm as confused as to why Serena P got a second one and Jesenia got this first one. Like, I just don't get it. She clearly was not going to make it far, or she wasn't going to get past this. So, like, why did they do it this way? I genuinely do not understand.
I don't know. Maybe he felt like a little... unsure of how he really felt about her, and he was
Serena?
Serena, but also Jesenia, and he needed both of those dates. He needed the Serena one to be absolutely sure he wanted her in his final four, and then he also needed the Jesenia one to know he was okay with letting her go. Maybe,
right?
Maybe
I don't know. I just thought it was confounding, and then I still don't know what drifting is in a car. I'm just like. I guess it's like a reference to like Tokyo Drift. But I still don't get it.
I think it's just like loud and like it leaves skid marks. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I haven't
that
watched.
That whole date was just rough. And then also I hate when he holds up the rose.
Oh my, that is so rude.
And Jesenia, that is why I cannot give you the rose while holding the rose like right in front of her face. It's a really dick move. Why did he do that?
And he did it with Katie too.
He treated Jesenia as disposable on this date.
I know.
It was mean. I would be hurt if I were her.
And not only that, but when he gave her the room to speak and she said, I really am falling in love with you. And he just goes, thanks. Again, I thought back to the OC when Marissa Cooper was like, I love you, Ryan. And he was like, thanks. Like, that is
Ryan
not what you want to hear.
Emotionally stunted, Amelia. He had problems, okay?
That's true.
I mean, if you want to do an OC podcast, I'm ready to go.
Me too.
I am so ready. I used to try to keep myself awake during lectures in college by doing a few things. One was listing every real world house in order and then each cast member in order.
Wow.
Like for each house. I probably could do like half of it at this point. And the other was listing every OC episode by name in order.
Oh my God.
I was like really obsessed. Anyway, don't speak poorly of Ryan. I came to really like him, even though
I love Ryan. But Ryan is,
As you know, in my office, I have that giant OC poster.
I know. I love that poster. It's an icon. The first season of that show is iconic, but I'm sorry. Absolutely. I digress. Anyway. But yeah, I was just like, that's so rude. Right after she was
shitty.
Yeah, right after she spilled her heart to him and was like, I'm really falling in love with you. And he's just like, okay, well, I can't give you this rose. And I'm like, what?
I know. It's just like, why do they put them through that? It's just, it was messed up.
I feel like this is, and again, I respect Matt. I think he's a better bachelor than the previous ones we've had for the last few years. But you can kind of see his fuckboy tendencies come out. And you know, we know that he dated that one girl last summer or something and was just like, we dated for 4 months, but I wasn't ready to put a title on our relationship. And even then people were like, that is a fuckboy move. And here we go again with more fuckboy moves.
Is it surprising that a super hot guy living in New York is a fuckboy? I mean,
that's true. Who's best friends with Tyler?
Like, yeah. Feel shit out in his mid to late 20s. Like, what's the point of being a super hot guy?
That's true. And his best friend is Tyler, and it just all points to fuckboy. But yeah, I know. It's just you hate to see it. You know?
I have to say I love a fuckboy, so that's one of the reasons I like that. I do. I can't deny it. Like, it's like Ben Affleck is like also ultimate fuckboy, right? Love Ben Affleck. Just imagine what he was like back in the day. I mean,
damn it.
Him and Matt Damon. Just
wow.
Of course.
I don't think I'm ready to unpack that, but yeah.
This leads us to Piper, who had one of my favorite exits that I can remember. Piper was the last person to be eliminated before the final four, which is a really terrible position to be in. I want to go week three or four. I want to have like a full experience, but I don't want to go too far as to like think I have a chance.
Right. Maybe can I go to like one foreign country or something?
Yeah, totally. Love that. You want to go to one foreign country and then like hope that you can hang out wherever you are, or go to like another nearby foreign country. Like hope that you're in Peru and you're like, okay, I'm just going to go to Buenos Aires while I'm here. Like, why not? You know? But Piper definitely thought she had a chance. I thought she did too. She and Matt had very good chemistry. And Piper did not say goodbye. She didn't let Matt give her a hug. She just got into the car. She didn't look at him. Yes. Just closed the door. I love it. These women are too nice.
Me too. Whenever,
every time the guy says, can I walk you out? And the woman says yes. I'm just like, why? Why do you want to allow him to do that? Just be like, no, dog. Go back in there. You got plenty of women waiting for you. I'm not the one. Deuces. Like, I don't understand.
I think like, there's a shock factor to it where they're just like, yeah, sure. And they're just like, we'll say it just because they don't know what else to say. And then I think they do end up regretting it. But no, yeah, more power to Piper. Good for her. I'm proud of her as well.
Yeah, I really like her. I hope we get her in Paradise. Although,
I'm sure we will.
You know, she's a student, so I feel like she's got time in her schedule probably.
Yeah, that's true.
Graduate students in the summer, so
perfect.
Fingers crossed.
Perfect timing.
And next week we got hometowns. And the best part of this week's episode was definitely seeing Michelle roast Matt.
When
she's doing her toast by doing some push-ups. She showed off that she can do push-ups and she roasted Matt and she seemed really fun. And here's my proposal that I alluded to before. I'm going to assume Chris Harrison won't be hosting The Bachelorette. I don't know for sure, but I'm just going to assume that's part of this temporary leave. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would just be like, okay, so you couldn't host one episode of your show? What kind of punishment is that? Let's just shake it up even further. New host. Bring in someone with more of like true comedy. And let's have a different tone to this show. Give us bloopers all the time. And here's my suggestion.
I love this.
Do bumpers around the breaks, you know, like around the commercial breaks. So like going into and out of a break. Give us a moment of levity. Give us some behind the scene bits. Give us some like hidden camera footage. Like, let's get to know the people on this show. Like, let's not only hear about them like crying, but I want to know who they are. Like, I used to love watching Ponderosa videos back in the day.
Yes.
Like, I understand there's a narrative and there's a reason why the show exists and is so successful. People like it as it is. We cover it because it's a popular show. But like, this is a true opportunity for The Bachelor to change course a little bit, to evolve.
Yes.
That's really what it is. It's to evolve. And that means like genuinely letting us know who people are. I now think that we could have gotten to know Matt a lot better if we'd gotten to know the women a lot better. Cause seeing Michelle make fun of Matt for the thing that has just totally mystified me this entire season, his obsession with fitness, was so exciting. I was like, yes, Michelle, get after it. And
I just want
more of that. And so like, why can't we use this opportunity to really like remake the show a little bit? And, you know, I actually would have preferred this to happen, start with The Bachelor. Cause I think like, it's only right that this show begin with like getting to know the women better, but like, fine, let's just, let's not wait. Let's get to know the next batch of guys.
Well, and I see them leaning into more meta things, you know, and I think the audience likes, I know I like when they do that. And I feel like this could just be another component to that. And again, you know, there's a reason why they have a blooper reel, because people enjoy like that. Exactly. And like one of the funniest parts of this season so far, I personally think, is when Matt was doing his little dance to No Music.
That was really funny.
Like, more of that. That was, yes, like you're saying, that adds levity. Like, come on. We need that in this season.
We really do. And it's just an opportunity to just move the show forward. You know, it's like, yes, it's going to be different, but I do think people will like that. I really do. I don't know. That's my two cents.
I think so too. I mean, also it breaks up the monotony of these, yeah, like dates after dates. It's a 2 hour. I keep on forgetting. It's a freaking 2 hour show. And that is a lot for me to handle. And I think again, this will add some more, just more content in terms of like, you know, it won't be as serious all the time, yeah, which I and like.
A lot of the jokes then don't have to come at the expense of a sad woman. Like a lot, yes, of the jokes, like, you know, one of my favorite moments is always going to be Claire yelling, "Men like that." But that's iconic. Not a joke that Claire's a part of. You know, that's a joke that not. She is the butt of.
Her entire season was her being the butt of a joke.
Yes. And her entire time in this franchise for like the last like 7 years, she's been the butt, right, of a joke. Let's have more laughing with the contestants and not as much laughing at them. Though we still want to, totally, laugh at them. I'm not saying, of let's course, get rid of it. We, no, still want to laugh, not, at people. It's why we're watching this show. But this is just a real opportunity. So I think like there's more tweaks that can be made and like, yeah, new ideas that can be introduced. And, you know, I hope that Chris Harrison does use the time to like learn and grow as he has stated. And in the meantime, let's evolve the show. That's my proposal. You know, I'm just a woman.
I honestly
asking
love that.
A television show to do better.
To do better, to change. No, I love this proposal. I'm serious. I'm into it. It would also be more like Bachelor in Paradise, which,
yes,
if you ask me, is the premier franchise of this entire franchise. The premier show of this franchise, I guess.
One person that has really brought this into focus for me that I feel like I could have liked a lot is, mm-hmm, Ed from Tayshia's Dude.
Oh my God. I did not
like Ed on the show, but I've become familiar with him since. And also he had that funny blooper through social media, obviously. He had that funny blooper with Chris Harrison where he like goes to his house and they just like have a glass of wine.
So stupid.
Super weird. I feel like I didn't have to hate Ed. I feel like I could have had fun with Ed if they had incorporated some of that stuff into it, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I still don't like Ed that much, but I feel like
you were never given the chance to like him.
That's true. That's true. My hatred could have been, you know, soothed a little bit.
It could have been something different. Anyway, I just want to say Piper and Abigail in particular, mm-hmm, I hope you guys are doing great. I'm sorry it didn't go well for you in this show. Mm-hmm. But I think you both seem awesome. So I'm hopeful for your futures. Really everyone, but those two seem to have rough exits. So I'm thinking of them this evening.
Yeah. And Jesenia too, because what the hell?
Oh yeah. She was treated terribly. Jesenia as well. Amelia, thank you so much for joining me. For more Amelia, watch her recaps on our Ringer YouTube channel, No Rose All Thorn, and catch her on Tea Time on Fridays on Ringer Dish. I'll be back on Thursday this week. We got Ashley Spivey coming up, which I'm excited. She was on the pod like 2.5 years ago, so it's been a while, and she's been very vocal about what needs to change in The Bachelor, so I'm excited to keep that conversation going, and be back then. Thanks again for listening.